In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go! 1-on-3! 1-2-3!
You're listening to the best of the Dolphins.
Yeah, y'all boys, man! Keep playing on 2-1-2!
A weekly mix of AM 560 Sports, WQAM's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
This update is brought to you by Doral Kia, home of the price seats, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com. Starting with the Heat, who fell to the Mavs by a final of 118-108. Next up, Miami head to Orlando tomorrow night. Over to the Panthers, who welcome in the Predators tonight. The puck drops at 7 from Amaranth Bank Arena. The game can be heard right here on WQAM. In college football, the Hurricanes signed 29 players on National Signing Day to secure a top 10 class and tops in the ACC. And yesterday, former Dolphins receiver and current Ohio State OC Brian Hartline took the head coaching job at USF. Finally, in the NFL, Week 14 begins tonight with the Lions and Cowboys. Kickoff, Joe, is at 8:15. Back to you.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. Kim Bocamper's with us. And, Bo, we're waiting on Baldy. We may or may not. I know he's been real busy with all these games going on. Which, by the way, how about tonight? Cowboys at the Lions. What a great way to kick off the week. The games are unbelievable.
I'll tell you what, it's funny. You've got the Chiefs that are drowning right now. You got the Lions that are in hot water. It's the races are becoming really intense.
Yeah.
Right now. And you got teams that you thought were better. Like the Chicago Bears. Who saw the Chicago Bears
being 9-3?
Being where they are.
No.
And look at New England. You can't think New England's gonna trip. They just keep winning and winning and winning.
They're in the playoffs right now. They got enough wins right now. Yeah. Denver's about ready to join them. They're gonna lock one up here pretty soon. And you know what's really crazy? How about the Mike Tomlin story? They're gonna dump him.
I don't know.
Even
about
Ben Roethlisberger and those guys, even former guys are going, his ass needs to go.
You know what? So this is the Coach Shula, it's the game's passed him by.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
All he does is win 10 games, and not that they're winning 10 games, but all he does is win 10 games.
Haven't won a playoff game since 2015. Yeah.
And so to me, you know, the Rooney family, who still runs that team, they're very, very reticent. I mean, what have they had?
Very loyal.
Three coaches in the last.
Yeah.
How many years? 35 years, whatever it is. So if it's got to get really bad.
I didn't like the way they patched that thing together, though.
Yeah.
They took a couple of our guys, and of course, Aaron Rodgers came in and got his wife. Well, we haven't seen her, but he got married and then came and, joined the team late. It's just been a really weird situation.
But aren't they in the same situation that virtually every team, including us, needs the right quarterback?
Yes.
Right? I mean, look.
No, they're just
look at.
They're on Rena quarterback.
Do you think New England's where they are if they don't have Dart?
No, New England with not Dart. Drake May.
Drake May. I'm sorry. Yeah. I keep with Drake May. Do you think they're the same team?
No, he's really good. May? I think he's
so
really
they found
good.
Their guy.
I think Bo Nix is really good for Denver.
Yeah, right.
And hasn't had great starts, but really good closer in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it just proves that this is a quarterback driven league. And if you don't have that quarterback, then you're searching, you're grabbing for straws like Aaron Rodgers and all these guys.
If
you're a quarterback now, you could have a 20-year career.
You know what's crazy with going back to what we were talking about with the Dolphins? So Dolphins defense last three games since Chris was let go after the game with Baltimore. 7 takeaways in 3 games by the defense and the pick 2, which was a huge play by Minka Fitzpatrick. They've given up 13, 13, and 17 points in the last 3 games. Let me take the offense aside. Devon Achane, 174, 120, and 134 yards rushing. We got a running game right now that is, hey, man, feed him more. And they've been doing this with 21 and 22 carries. That's what he's been getting. The one part of this team, and by the way, the kicking game, this is as good a combination with what we're getting with Patterson and Bailey. Patterson filling in for Jason is 21 to 23. Yep. He's been great. And Bailey has been, whether it's backing him up or hitting 49 on his kicks, a little over 49 yards on his kick. We got one thing that's not one. They're still winning. They're still finding ways to win. Now, 2 of them haven't been pretty.
Yeah. But so you got – you know, and so Achane
did not play well.
Achane, consistently running the ball is well as anybody in the league right now, right?
Yes.
And over the last month, the ability to get him the ball by the pair, but by in the air has kind of diminished a little bit, right?
Yeah, he's not getting as.
So I don't think he got targeted once or twice maybe last week. I don't think he had a catch.
He did not have a catch in the last
game. And part and parcel of that is your quarterback. Your quarterback is, I've been saying this since the beginning of this year. His arc is not on the upward climb.
No.
His arc is not on the lateral climb. His arc is on the downward slope right now.
I would love to be in those meetings with the quarterback coach.
Yep. And
coordinator and the head coach going, what do we do to get more out of this guy? Yep. They've been able to get away with it so far in the last 3 games.
Yeah.
They've been able to win. But when you pick up in competition here at the end of the year, not to mention the cold weather's not been his best friend. He has not had great games, and hopefully we'll see better play. But, Bo, it's everything. And I know the scrambling thing he's been told by everybody in the organization with his concussion history, but this sliding – every time he slides short of a first down.
Yeah.
Every time. Yeah. Like he takes off.
And it's not like he's sliding 8 yards short of the first down.
No.
Right?
Not in that last
one. He's a couple yards, 2-3 yards, and then
Then you don't get it on fourth down like the last game.
You know, and look, if even if you just try to head fake a guy or something and you don't make it, okay. But those it's again, you watch the top guys and they're putting their head down, I know the whole concussion thing, and it's just
that's not healthy to talk about.
It's just not good quarterback play.
No.
Top to bottom this season. Very, 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 very pedestrian at best.
Yeah.
Right?
No. Hey, and the other thing is, let's talk about the interception. And I'm not dogpiling on the guy. I'm just – Waddle goes down the sideline, gets past the corner, safety. And you and I, it's a bad example. Marino throws that ball. You by the way, it's on a rope.
Yeah.
You catch it, and you're running after I'm not. I'm falling down. But a lot of the guys are catching it, and they're running after. They're thinking about scoring.
Marino,
Clayton and Duper and Nat are going to catch it,
but
Jimmy.
How many quarterbacks in this league right now throw that dart to him?
A lot.
Right? Instead of lofting. Those guys were waiting for that ball to come down.
Well, that thing took forever.
It was like it's still your blimp hanging up there.
Yeah.
You know?
So safety comes over, makes a play on it.
That's one of those things where we've got 2 defensive guys fighting for the ball, right?
Well, by the way,
I want to get the catch.
They've had a couple of those.
Yeah.
The guy Washington dropped one in double coverage. Should have probably not even thrown it. But look, I don't know what they do. I mean, he's a quarterback. He still gives you the best chance to win with the other guys.
Yeah.
Are you with me on that?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
I just want to make sure.
Well, and look, you know, and not only that, you've got now Darren Waller back. And Greg Dulcich, who's become a really good, you know,
using their two tight ends,
wide receiver at UCLA, right? And then he comes in here and he bulks up a little bit. And now he's a tight end. You got to, you know, he's proven to be a very good an asset to this passing game. So you got that opportunity. Now you got Waller and those guys in. We had them both on the field at a couple times last week. This gives you that opportunity.
I see that some of the heat's on some of the other receivers besides, you know, they're saying, well, Waddle, you know, and Tua's done this more than once. Well, they took Waddle out of the game, or I couldn't see Waddle, or whatever it is. But they need to get another wide receiver going in this thing. Although I think with Devon and the two tight ends you just mentioned, now that I think Waller's really good, and I wish they could use him and get him the ball more. I thought they were. I know the one catch, and you and I disagreed on the back of the end zone.
No,
he made a catch.
I thought it was too high for him.
He was wide open.
It was too high for him to be inbounds at the end of the end. He was at the back of the end line and couldn't get down in time. I mean, I was standing right there looking at it, and it wasn't. It was just too high
to catch it and drag the feet.
Down. Let me tell you what, if he had a size 18 foot, if he had a size 18 shoe,
won't even tell me I was close to being right.
Maybe he would have got a toe tap down on that one, you know?
maybe if
he had Shaq's shoes, you know?
I would love to know, because he's our guy next year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, because fans coming up right and left. They're jumping off the Tua bandwagon going, hey, what are we doing about next year? And I go, we owe him a lot of money. What do you think?
And look, I listened to him after in the post-game press conference. Yeah, he knew that it was a crappy game.
He did know that.
You know, I mean, he wasn't, he wasn't that guy that, even though he's had some bad games and he walked up there and you thought that he played, Johnny Unitas or something. Yeah. None of that after this game. He knew how bad he played in that game.
I think sliding.
Earlier in the year, I went a little far on the, worst game that I've ever seen.
Yeah, no. That was, you were strong. You're still talking about these guys almost hope, like, if we have a bad loss, people are waiting for you to do your CBS post game because you get so fired up asking questions. I get home. And my wife, who does not watch post game shows, is like, I think Bo's fired up. And I go, did you talk to him? She goes, I'm watching his show. I can't turn it off. It's made for TV stuff. And I was cracking up. I was like, wow, now you're watching that. So I could just tell. I said, he takes losses very, very hard. There's no, I wish more people in the organization would take losses hard. Maybe that would help.
Yeah.
That would help us a little bit. But anyway, a lot of good things going on with the team. I want to ask you, Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Devon Achane's a Pro Bowler.
No doubt.
Jordan Brooks leads the league.
Jordan Brooks should be.
How about who would be the third guy? So I gave more specific so to cut this down. Brewer or your left tackle?
I would say both of them. I would say both of them. I think Brewer's been amazing.
He's crazy.
You see a guy like that, his size, pulling not behind the line, in front of the line to get to the second level, and he's kicking guys out, and he's giving running lanes.
When he's in open field.
I mean, he's fast.
His blocking is amazing.
And so he certainly is, and I think Patrick Paul is
we just
is
don't hear
well
much about him, which is a good
sign.
Well,
that's a good thing, right? Yeah. I mean, how many times you got another guy that's ready to go in the Hall of Fame in Richmond Webb, and when he was playing, you didn't really talk about him much because he never got beat.
Right.
You know?
We did love those Bruce Smith, Richmond Webb. Those one-on-ones against the Buffalo Bills were fantastic.
But I think those four guys.
Alec Ingold as that fullback, they've talked about how well he's played, but he's had some
games where, it hasn't worked out for him.
But that's about it on the team, right? Those are main guys.
Yeah, I think so. I think you've hit most of them. I mean, Dotson has been
playing Dotson's well, put up nice numbers, but you know, compared to the guy next to him,
yeah, right.
It's,
yeah.
That'd be hard to get both.
But they do deserve. I think they deserve. Certainly, Jordan and Achan.
Boy, and, you know the thing about Jordan Brooks, he gets after guys on the side.
Oh, no. He does.
He's leader. Yeah, he's like, hey, I know I wasn't drafted by these dudes, but this is my team.
Yeah.
We're going to friggin' play like this.
No, and he
I love it.
And I tell you what, those guys, you know, when he's almost like Dwight, you know, but he talks a lot more than Dwight. But when he talks, people listen, you know.
That was Dwight.
And he's an impact. So I remember going, you know, when we were in Atlanta, remember the first series, their series, their first opportunity with the ball, backed up, and he comes and makes that he sacks again, the second play of the game,
right.
Comes up with a sack. That whole sideline erupted.
Right.
And to me,
that's the first time we've seen emotion for a while.
And I said that play alone set the tempo for me for that whole game.
You know, I thought, and we got to go to break here, but Bradley Chubb's sack.
Oh, yeah.
That was a huge play.
Huge
play. Them backed up.
Yep.
Getting us the ball back and everything.
Well, that whole sequence.
Bradley Chubb's another guy. I give credit because, I thought he was gone.
Yeah.
It's a right draft pick. He's not here right now.
Yeah. No, he's playing really well. And I tell you, he's another guy that, you know, he's a guy that gets that team going.
He is.
The guys that look, they look at him. For the energy and what he gives them. So I'm happy for him because from what he went through last year, and you know what the other thing he comes out and talks, and he's not backing down from anything.
No. He'll say things, and sometimes they'll go, well, we don't really agree, but I mean, if he's saying it.
Yep.
And that's what he's feeling.
Yeah.
I guess that's what we're going to go with. Hey, we're going to break here. We got more stuff to get to. By the way, Bradley Chubb had his contract redone. Bo,
yeah,
you had incentives. I'm going to read you some of the incentives he's already reached. Get out of here. We'll be back with that in just a second. First, though, I want to talk to you about Dr. Barry and his staff at Recovery Unplugged. Man, I'll tell you what, a lot of us, I'm talking firsthand, man. I've been in that funk. Whether you've gone through it in a marriage or your job, you've lost your job, something's thrown you off the road here a little bit, and you're just in a funk. You're in a bad funk, and you can't get out of it. Hey, man, it's under the mental health family these days, and there's something you can do about it. Dr. Barry and his staff at Recovery Unplugged are fantastic.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season. from Crimes of the Paranormal, Unsolved Murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantastic. 15 minutes of Game Day Uncensored. That's brought to you by the Lexus December to Remember sales event. Get offers on select models for a limited time. Learn more at Lexus.com. Game Day Uncensored this Sunday is 9 a.m. Tobin, Solana, Omar Kelly, Chris Perkins, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Getting you ready for the game in New York. Here's a Dolphins Q&A question from David Fioronis in the Sun Sentinel. Somebody writes in my opinion, Tua regressed a lot this season in almost every aspect of his game. His accuracy got worse. His mechanics look off sometimes. His deep balls got worse, and there's no money spot over the middle anymore. I was a huge Tua fan the last years. How do you explain this regression? And then the guy also writes, can't be age. Maybe the money made him too satisfied. I fear the concussions maybe made him regress faster than usual, or was it just Tyreek Hill being out? So here's what David Fiorona says. There's no doubt Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa is having the worst season, his worst season under head coach Mike McDaniel, and that's with him being healthy all season, at least in terms of not having to miss games. Sunday's game against the Saints was just awful. 12 of 23, 157 yards, an interception, another throw that probably should have been called a pick on review, four sacks. He missed throws he usually makes. Even this year, as his play has diminished, he has made poor decisions, like throwing deep to Jaylen Waddle in the end zone on first down with Kool-Aid McKinstry waiting for the interception. And then you have his slide short of a pivotal first down conversion on third down that leads to a fourth and one and a turnover on downs before New Orleans nearly pulled off the epic comeback. David Fioronis writes, I've been asked this before, and I can't help but point to that show-me-the-money moment after the contract extension. I, too, would have never said that about Tua's character before it occurred. He's too much of a fighter. But there's a correlation there, if not causation. Fioronis continues, there are a lot of other factors, too. He doesn't have Tyreek Hill now, after having years of prime Hill. He has been without Darren Waller for much of the season. He was without his two best starters on the right side of the offensive line, his blindside blockers since week one. But both right tackle Larry Borum and right guard Cole Strange have been better in recent weeks, while Austin Jackson is now back for Borum. Overall, it's all no excuse to have a passer rating of 55.9 against the Saints and fail to get your team into the end zone after the opening drive to allow a two-win team to have multiple late chances to beat you. Tua is leading the league in interceptions. I should never be so confident I'm going to win with a pick of Tua Tagovailoa plus over 0.5 interceptions, over half interception in our prop bets piece, says Fioronis. I wouldn't go the route of blaming prior concussions for his play this season as insinuated as a possibility in the question, but there has to be an answer. I don't know what the answer is, but it is interesting. People are seeing the same exact stuff. I think Fioronis points something out there, which is, you know, we have heard of athletes getting fat and happy on contracts. He got a massive contract. He does seem to be fat and happy. I'm not suggesting that because I don't think that's his character. But there does there does seem to be something there.
He is noticeably and just eye test stuff. And I know eye test now is get you a little going because the whole college football playoff thing. But there's an eye test thing that we see. He's not the same Tua. He's not as quick. He has no explosiveness when he runs. Even his throws aren't his whole body. He's flicking it with his wrist. Something physically is going on with him. And he is regressing. He's physically breaking down. I don't know if it's forever or if it's something more than we know. But I was listening because I drove up yesterday morning to Orlando and I left at like 6:45 a.m. I was listening to Kyle Krabs with Joe Rose. And he said some stat about when Tua gets the ball out in 2.4 seconds, you know, his percentage goes up double to 70%. Anything after 2.4, it's almost a half, like, and all this stuff. And it made me think, Tua doesn't scramble or run, we started calling it shuffling because he's really not scrambling to do anything because he can't move. He panics. If he doesn't have his first read, you just said it, that over the throw timing route he throws to Tyreek, it's him knowing where Tyreek is going to be exactly. And he's making that decision before the ball is snapped. I have single high. Tyreek's going to be right here. I could just let it go and he's going to get there. He scrambles is a panic. He's not looking around. He's not finding second receivers. He's running because he has to. And if the play is not there exactly how McDaniels drew it up, there is no way for him to complete it, no way for him to make anything happen, get knocked down. And that's what's going on.
Also, sometimes when it is there, the way that it's drawn up, he still seems to have the inability to get the ball there accurately.
And that's the physical side of it. So I think it comes from him not being that good. And then when he does have it, the physical side that he can't do anymore, he can't make those throws. That damn interception last week looked like little Chan threw it up in the air and said, Daddy, go catch it. That was embarrassing.
That's not a $50 million pass.
Hawk, you could have picked that ball off in the middle of the field safety. You would have got over there. That ball was in the air so long. That's not hitting the hole. That's hitting Kool-Aid. I love the man's name is Kool-Aid. Yeah. He hit Kool-Aid in the chest. The receiver started playing defense on him, man. Somebody asked me at Disney. They were like, hey, are we going to keep Tua around? I said, we are because we owe him $55 million. We have to keep him around. What question are you asking me? Is he going to be here next year or is it a good decision? Because those are two different things.
Might be the only decision. I think he's hurt, but he's not escaping the Tyreek Hill merchant accusations. He's just not.
Well, I mean, you can't at this point because there's a noticeable drop-off and Tyreek's not there. So you have to be able to make at least the assumption that that's part of it.
But, Solana, why are they concealing or holding back the injury?
I hate when they do that. Coach can probably speak to it on the next segment. I hate when teams do that. Remember they did it with Tkachuk during the Stanley Cup Finals? I hate when they don't tell you and then afterwards they say, you know, he played the entire season with a thorax in his neck.
Right, but because if they come out right now, or if Tua says, hey, yeah, actually, I'm dealing with a really bad groin issue, or I'm dealing with plantar fascia, or I'm dealing with whatever, then nobody's going to have sympathy for him. You know what they're going to say? Oh, excuses.
Well, why didn't you say it when you got injured? I'm with you. If you say it now, it sounds like you're doing damage control. But when you get injured, why not let everybody know you're injured? I'm playing at 80% this season. I'm toughing it out at 80%.
Because everybody's just going to say, oh, they're looking for sympathy. They're looking for excuse making. And that's not acceptable in the NFL. I mean, people do that all the time with guys in the NFL. And it's different with Tkachuk. He didn't have the best series in that Stanley Cup final. But guess what? You're in the Stanley Cup final. I mean, the Dolphins are two games below 500.
All I was saying, though, was, hey, what would have been the harm in saying, hey, Matthew Tkachuk is playing with a broken sternum? Like, what would have been the harm in letting everybody know? I don't understand why that stuff's such a secret.
It would be an advantage for the other team to try to hit him in the chest.
People like Crowder. Crowder knew right away. Yeah. He would go right for the sternum.
I would say that. But also with Tua, it's not just an excuse. It perpetuates him being injury prone.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, he's hurt again. He hurt his
well,
last
but then it's like, six to one, half a dozen to another. What would you rather be known as, the terrible quarterback or the injured quarterback? Because those are your only two choices.
I should have told y'all my foot was sore when I was letting right. tight ends beat
I'm not really terrible. I happen to be dinged up. I'm injury prone. Real quick, look at the headlines because Jim Larinaga is going to join us in the next segment. I won't have enough time with him. So headlines brought to you by Doral Kia, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit them at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com.
One of the things you brought up, Kyle Krabs, one of the things he wrote in an article a couple hours ago or a couple days ago, I don't know if it's too early to look at backup quarterback speculation for next season if Tua's back, but Kyle Krabs put together a list. I'll run it by both of you, but I know Hawk is big backup quarterback talk guy, so maybe we can do that later.
I'm happy to. That's my wheelhouse.
It's his favorite position.
Is there a thorax injury? Did I make up a – what is a thorax?
I think it's something in your chest.
Is that a Dr. Seuss character?
No, that's the Lorax.
Oh, my bad. Thorax. Oh,
chest,
thorax.
Chest region of the body located between the neck and the abdomen.
Yeah, look at that. Who hasn't had a sore thorax every now and then?
Hawk, you said he had a thorax in his neck.
Imagine how painful that would be. That would explain a lot of the overthrows.
Get him, Kachuk. Jesus Christ.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM.
You shocked the way they treat Mike Tomlin?
Am I shocked the way they're treating Mike Tomlin? Not really.
No?
Not really. I do follow some like Pittsburgh fans like on social media and stuff, and there is kind of like a running thing like you guys are. You know, you got people on the outside are much more appreciative of this than I guess them, because they're frustrated that they really haven't done anything in the playoffs. Been pretty mediocre the last few years. So I'm not that shocked that Pittsburgh fans are kind of like at this point. I think, and honestly, like maybe it's up to that point where it's just better for fresh starts on both sides. You know?
Yeah, I mean, Kenny Pickens, Mason Rudolph. They've had a tough trip since Big Ben retired.
Yeah, no, they have. They haven't really fulfilled it. You know, it's a little, you know, maybe it gets to the point like it's Bill Belichick where it just gets to like, we're done with it. I don't sense that there's like ownership animosity like there was with Belichick and Robert Kraft.
Yeah, I think every like the thing about Tomlin is he always just takes the approach. It is what it is. I'm going to do my thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I think even if you don't like Tomlin, you got to respect the way he handles himself as a head coach.
It's a little like reminiscent of the Heat. It's kind of like they are an organization that values winning as many games as possible, and you probably could even say it, and I know Heat fans have been frustrated, like, can't you just tank for a couple of years and maybe we'll get a Wembanyama, maybe we'll get a Cooper Flag? Well, you won't unless it's fixed by the NBA.
Right.
But, it's like, no, our purpose is to win as many games as possible. Even if it's a stinky 37, we're going to come back. We'll take our 20th pick. We're going to go, even though that one was traded for. We'll take whatever pick we get, chips fall where they may, and we'll try and win as many the next year. And it's like Pittsburgh has a little bit of that, and I don't know. Like he's, you know, maybe it takes like one more run again to get him back to a spot where Pittsburgh Steelers fans really appreciate it. Like, I kind of feel like with Spo, that really happened when they got to the finals in the bubble. Like, people respected Spo, always thought Spo was really good, but I think that he really didn't get his flowers from the fan base until they made the finals again without the big three.
Right.
And so I don't know what that, you know, when that moment ends for some Steelers fans with him. I don't know what the answer is to that, but you know, it could be that it is the end of the road, because I'm sure he would get, if he was a free agent, and maybe this is, like, he'll get whatever he wants,
Vlad,
I'd imagine.
Vlad, so this is where I come to you, because I haven't been able to figure out, this is with players, this is with coaches, like, ring protection. Mm-hmm. How long does it last?
Oh, well,
because you see what I'm saying? Because we've been having this argument for a year, and you go, you know, they can't do that ring protection. Or with you know, we had this with Aaron Rodgers, ring protection, ring protection. But
multiple gives you a longer warranty. You have more.
But
warranty.
One? No, we've been talking about is one.
Right, one. But now one doesn't give you that no more.
But
now,
Aaron Rodgers, we've been having this conversation. I say, Vlad, it was 12, 13 years ago.
When you guys say ring protection in my mind is like that avoids you from the stinker seasons. Like if you're still winning and you've already won the big prize, like that's the thing with Aaron Rodgers is like Aaron Rodgers was winning. He won. Then he was winning MVPs, and then he was winning 13 games.
He was still being successful,
right?
He wasn't able to get the second one. But
right,
winning that one, and you're considered a great, gives you ring protector. That's the protection.
But what I'm saying, look at what Tomlin's had to coach the last, since Ben Roethlisberger's left.
Oh, it's all his fault.
Huh?
All Roethlisberger's fault.
But I'm just, you know, they haven't had a quarterback even close to that. And so when we talk about ring protection, we just looking at, I love the way we pick and choose when we go with the players versus the coach.
I don't even, you know, like if I had to guess and they really wanted to do it, like here's what I would say is if he really was done, it would probably be one of these things where it'd be like, hey, Mike, we really want to go in the toilet. Like we want to just revamp the whole thing because they went super old this year.
Ooh.
And yeah. so it's probably on him of like, hey, do you want to go through this?
Yeah, no,
or do you want to go start somewhere else?
This is not even between Tomlin and the organization. Because both are class acts. They'll, if it ends, it's going to be so smooth and nobody's going to get their feelings hurt and everybody's going to be respectful. It's not going to be when you get off the plane, don't go to the facility kind of thing. It's not going to be that.
Doubt it.
But I'm saying is as far as just looking at that team, you think they're going to just get somebody else and be better?
No, I don't think it's better. I think it's just it's like, you know, organizations will get to a point where they got to reset, go in a fresh direction.
Right.
You know, it doesn't work out always, like, you know, with the Patriots and Gerard Mayo. Like, that wasn't fantastic.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
You know, so, like, it doesn't always shine. But I think, like, if that's the place they're going to go, I mean, like, look, the Steelers would also get a little grace on that, too, is like, hey, we've only had four coaches in our history. Like,
right.
They're entitled.
No, I know.
They would also
You know what they also do, though? They always seem to hire the right guy. So if they were to move on. Now, let's think about this. Do you have to consider what's out there? Because, you know, they say the coaching.
I think the Dolphins are in that situation probably with Mike McDaniel.
Right. The coaching availability is about the same as the quarterback availability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not like necessarily like the guy right now who's
correct.
Like the hot.
No
the
Ben hot, Johnson.
The hot candidate.
There's no Ben Johnsons out there.
Because it's kind of been a weird year. Like, I don't think anybody's like, oh my God, this is the team. This is the guy. Like, probably, I don't know, like who's got that right now in the league? That I'm sure there'll be guys established once we're in the playoff run.
Right.
But I think the Dolphins are probably in that spot. Like if the Dolphins, like if all things being how the season plays out, yeah, Mike McDaniel will probably survive another year. But if Mike Tomlin became available, then you'd be like, hit the bricks, nerd boy.
John Harbaugh.
Yeah, maybe John Harbaugh.
Ooh, you think John?
Yeah, bro. I think both of these coaches, the one with the longest tenure, it might be time for a new voice. It's almost two decades, and they're stuck. I'm telling you, even Buffalo, I think they got to let McDermott
go. I think they're gonna turn on him next.
You know, call that
like they how they turn on Tomlin.
I've been saying that.
You've been saying that, but I think they're gonna turn on him next before they turn on Harbaugh.
Now they turn it on Harbaugh.
They turn on him? Even with their whole team being hurt this year?
I mean, how many times are you just going to lose? Especially now. Say Kansas City does.
Well, they've even had.
You can't lose to Kansas City when they're a wounded animal. And you definitely can't lose to the other teams because even in a playoff battle, you're going to think that Buffalo or Baltimore is a better team than Denver,
do you think,
Indianapolis, and Jacksonville.
You think this year more than any year, you have to look at the AFC and go, it's up for grabs. And, like, there's a lot of teams that have a chance. We should just really just hunker down and try to get our guys because.
Please stop saying hunker down, dude. You've done this. It's not. You don't hunker down. You hunker down.
Yeah, it's hunker.
All right. Hunker.
When you hunker,
you know
more fun.
You know what it sounds like when you say hunker down?
Tune in Tokyo. So I just like with every I think this is probably why when you look at Tomlin, you look at Harbaugh, you look at the Buffalo coach, when you look at those three guys and where they've been the last few years, and then you see how wide open the AFC
Well, it depends if the Chiefs are in or not. Like that's
right,
also,
but that's what I'm saying.
That's also going to be a thing. Like the Chiefs have been dominating the AFC.
Like,
so
right, yeah.
Like I think that's yeah. I think that's one of the things is like
you think that
you're having a down year and now the Chiefs are out.
Right.
Like and so I mean we, you know the Chiefs obviously got a big one this weekend, but we'll see. But they got the Texans this weekend.
They got the Texans, but yeah. They sneak themselves in the playoffs.
Yeah, everyone's gonna be scared of them.
You're gonna be right. scared, but you know they're wounded, and if they somehow. Beat you guys. Yeah, it might be time for a new voice.
But I think the Harbaugh one's a little different because it feels like Harbaugh's, I mean, like Baltimore's been loaded. Loaded. And you have the MVP. So, right. like, I could understand if you're like, hey, dude, so, what are we doing?
Same thing with Pittsburgh. They've been loaded before, too.
Nah, but
not
again,
like this.
Not
at the most important position.
The last time they had what? Like a 10-win season?
They had a 12-win season and lost to the Browns. Remember when Baker went into Pittsburgh?
So that was, what, 4 years ago?
Yeah, like they've
it's a long time in football, dude.
But they've been to the what it is with their stature and the fact that they've gotten to the playoffs every year and they never had a losing season. They're expecting to at least win a game in the playoffs. He hasn't won a game in the playoff in 10 years.
Yeah, but I think most people would say the perennial favorite the last 4 years in that division is usually the Ravens because you have Lamar,
right? And you had the Bengals come in, but you still, you know, you're still Pittsburgh.
I understand that they're still Pittsburgh, but it's like, but they have had at the very best the third best quarterback, sometimes the worst quarterback in that division, based on right. whatever Cleveland had as a hodgepodge right. before pre Deshaun Watson disaster.
You talk about little baby hands. You talk about Mason Rudolph. Forget about it. We ain't even talking about Fields.
But I think the other thing that you could look at is you know you could look at teams and you could say well things turn around pretty quick. Like if you know the Colts. Do whatever they do this year, or the Patriots, like other teams. You could say teams could hunker down, and other teams could say, well, maybe we get the right people in here with some talent, and we do a little tweaks, and maybe we're off and running for a chance.
You think Indy turned it around quickly, though? They didn't turn around quick. It was like 3 or 4 years.
How long has Steichen been the coach? Is this his third year?
Third year, and yeah. then keep in mind, they've had Taylor. They built up that offensive line, so they had an offensive line. They just didn't have a quarterback.
All right, well, New England's the example.
Went old for the quarterback.
New England basically sucked for 2 years, and like look at them now. They're leading the AFC.
Right.
So you could look at them and say, like, hey. And now Vrabel was an established coach. People thought he was a good coach in the Titans, and I think that's probably part of the frustration with the Dolphins fan right now. Is you're looking at this, you see a Bills team that's like, they're always going to have Josh Allen, so they're always going to feel like they have a chance. The Jets, they have, you know, thrown in the towel to basically revamp and have all these picks this year. And the Dolphins are kind of like stuck in no man's land right now. It's like, they could be the worst team. They're definitely not, they don't feel like the best team in the division. And so what are we doing? And I think that's where everybody's banging their head against the wall.
Well, I think that it will take at least 3 years if they win a different direction. I don't think they're going to do anything with Mike next year, and I know people don't want to hear that simply because they're not going to do anything with Tua. Even if you draft a quarterback, you still go that route. Now, the problem is that when Tua's not the quarterback, and Mike's not the coach, you're playing a different style of football.
They kind of already are, aren't they? Like, they're not playing the Tua, get the ball out, distribute it all over the place. Like, it's pretty much gone to...
They just, you know what? They haven't relied on that, but it's still the same style of offense. They just rely more on the run.
You don't think Mike McDaniel could feel like if he went into a year, you know, if Tua keeps turning the football over, yeah, if they lose this weekend.
Right.
And you're in a year where he's looking at it. And let's say Mike's going to be the coach. Do you think Mike really wants to go through another year or two? Because I'm going to tell you, I think part of the reason that he's changed his style on this, and you kind of heard it in some of the snippiness when they were losing because of how frustrated he was with Tua giving the football over.
If he could just stop throwing the ball to the other team.
Yeah, like maybe if he's really going to be given the reins, like, look, he probably could go to Stephen Ross if he's got the cachet right now, even with paying Tua, and be like, look, I'm sorry for the mistake. I think we've done all we can do with this guy. He's not physically the same anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's a $200 million mistake.
Understood.
I would.
So you might want to get rid of the guy who was part of the mistake. That's the thing.
I
think that people look at the Dolphins right now, and like they finally did a year where they feel like whoever takes this over, it does feel like the trenches are more fortified. I don't know what Aaron Brewer's contract situation is, so I don't know how long he'll be around. But it does feel like you have fortified it as much as possible. So I don't know, man. I think that's where the frustration lies with everybody else is like, what is the right? If you don't do it, it kind of feels like you're too scared to make a move,
uh-huh.
and you're waiting it out. If you do, yeah, it might be bad next year. But also, I don't think anybody looks at this team and says they're good enough to do anything real. Like yeah. not even close.
I would say this is that, that the whole situation with Tua, I personally think he looks the way he does because he needs to be in better shape.
Mm-hmm.
He just looks lethargic. Like he got too big, too fast, and he doesn't have that same movement. And people put it on the injuries and stuff like that. No, he looks like
out of shape.
Yeah.
You said it yesterday. You said he was a big donut yesterday. Don't hide from it now.
No, I'm not. And I would say that somebody's going to get in his ear in off season, and he's going to look different when he comes back, and then we're going to have a whole different discussion.
The patience is going to be
but
like
the pa- exactly.
The patience is no, going to no, be no. zero. On
he earned that. Mm-hmm. He earned that. And even if they decide to bring in another quarterback, Tua earned everything that is going to happen to him next year. And so
that's what I'm saying. Like he needs even this week, he needs a week. I'm not saying he has to throw for 300, but
he just needs a week. Looks like he can play well no matter what.
You need to get in that red zone.
I don't know if his body and this is the problem. I don't know. And it has nothing to do with the cold. He looks so robotic.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say it's the same difference between Dillon Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders.
The lion thing?
No. Dillon Gabriel plays quarterback. He's sitting in the pocket and you see Tua, he's got his hands up and he's doing that. And Shedeur plays football. Somewhere in between that is a happy medium. Mm-hmm. Tua right now is trying so hard to be technically sound that he looks terrible at times with all that quick. Like, what the hell are you looking at? Like, no lie. I can drop back as not being a quarterback, see the movement of one guy in the secondary, and pretty much tell you where everybody else is. They may change it up, you know. They might run two with man underneath or something like that. But for the most part, you're looking at two safeties versus one safety, and that's pretty much going to give you an idea of where to go. They do a lot of motion. You know what the motion is for?
To trick the stupid defense?
No.
Oh.
To make them commit.
I thought you were going to insult defense again.
No. They fall for it. Let me tell you something. But when you do a lot of motion, you make the defense commit. Is it man? Is it zone? Is it blitz? Whatever it is, when that guy does that little quick motion, if somebody chases him, it's man. And that's why you do that. To give your quarterback and your weapons on offense an idea of what they're going to do defensively. So, yeah, him moving around like that, there ain't no way nobody moves like that. Show me another quarterback that does that. I don't know why he does that. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? I'm watching the game. What are you doing?
That's what you're doing?
Yes, because it looks ridiculous.
Last time I did that, Luna was just yelling at me the whole time.
Huh?
When I watched a game with you, you were just Luna was just yelling at me the whole time.
Oh, she just... Burp, burp.
Maybe she was just asking what to the hell was doing.
So yeah, there's like... Tua's not excused from this. And you have to have, I think, one of the problems I have with Tua is there's too many things that affect him mentally. Like, dude, you can't be a professional athlete when half the time, every time you go on the field, half the people are booing you. You got to have some mental toughness to just go out and do your thing. And I think sometimes, watch him. Oh, they want me to throw deep. They tired of me throwing short pass. Here you go. Arm punt.
That's what Perk said. Perk said that on Joe Rose show today, that he thinks that Tua is overthinking because there's so much.
Play football.
Well, I mean.
Play football.
He wants to play football, but they're telling him not to slide or else, you know.
I mean,
dude, I said this, Vlad. I said this when they were talking about it last year. If ever Tua goes on that field and does not play football and does not make the plays that need to be made, we're going to have a problem with that. If it's third and four at the end of a game and there's a defender at 3 yards and he slides, we're going to have a problem with that. You have to play football. You can be safer, sure. You cannot just drop your head and run into DeMar Hamlin for reasons I still can't explain.
How you get knocked out by a week?
But, I just don't get it. But football is such, if it's third and four and you're trying to win a football game, that's an ugly look if you don't try to get that first.
But do you think that was him being worried or do you think that was just unawareness? Like, that's what that's the thing.
It probably was.
That was the thing that I was annoyed by with the play. Like, he got up and did the first down dance.
It was probably a little bit of both.
He was just happy he didn't get hurt.
Nah, well, you can't play like that. Vlad, well, let me tell you something.
Yeah, he was happy he didn't
get
hurt.
I'm going into many games wondering if I was going to make it through. And then the game starts and I don't think about it. I just play football. I go as long as I can go.
Last point, you knew where you're gonna get hit regardless. This guy's got a lot. I'm not trying to shoot him some bail, but he's got a lot that he's got to deal with. You know, coverage, motion, all that, and the fact that they're putting limitations on you. Not trying to shoot him any bail.
You don't have no limitations.
I don't think those are limitations. I think they're.
He's putting those limitations on. Yeah. You got to play football, Vlad.
Well,
Vlad,
they're putting limitations to save him. Okay, like, hey, don't run. Because if you run and you're in the open field, you're like a deer.
Is he not a competitor? I'm more offended by that. Because here's why. If you're a competitive lad, I don't care what kind of competitor, what level of competitor you are. If it's third and three and you know you need 4 yards and you're a competitor, you're going to do everything you can to get those 3 yards. That's being a competitor.
We'll take a break here on the show. Back after this.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead. Try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts. Yes.
All right, keep it rolling. Keep it rolling. Boy, I tell you what, it's funny what winning does to people. I'm listening to all those guys talking, and there's a whole different feel than when that thing was at 1-6 coming, huh? coming home after you lose the friggin' Browns. It's
broken. The fan base is just like, I think a lot of them are like me. They just don't even know what to think.
I'm not even talking about fan base. I'm just talking about the team. Like,
oh no, they want to win. It's good for them. But from a fan perspective, it's just, there's so much confusion right now and so much like
there's no
up in the air, isn't there?
And, they're staying. Hey, look at, and God bless those coaches, as positive as possible for the guy struggling the most, which happens to be the most important position, the quarterback.
Well, that's a big problem.
But
you started firing people.
They're still
right? Mid-season. You started getting rid of people.
Well, listen, that's the crazy
thing. What's the off-season going to look like? Who knows?
So look at this. Before you get into who knows, you get rid of the GM and two of his key guys.
Yeah.
For scouting. Who have been here way too long, to be honest. You're here 25 years. Listen, don't take this the wrong way.
Right?
Don't take this the wrong way. But if you're here 25 years and you're part of helping find players and your team hasn't been to the won a playoff game in 25 years, you shouldn't have a job with the Miami Dolphins or any other organization. You're part of it. Now, you can go, well, you know, I gave good information and the GM did what the GMs, excuse me, we've had a bunch of them. You know, they take the information and they have final say, which is true. But at some point, you just need to.
It's fair what you're saying, by the
okay.
way. Yeah, okay. No, it's pretty reasonable.
And I'm not getting into individual names because some of the guys are good guys and been around. But listen, man, if it's like whatever we're doing, it just. We need brand new eyeballs and brand new reports coming in.
But you can't half fix it though. That's why I'm starting to get a little concerned here. You can't like start patching things up again because then you dig this hole even deeper and it takes longer to fix.
So what do you, it's a great question. I don't think they're patching things in.
So you think there's going to be and Omar was talking about this, you know, a few weeks ago when we had him in here and he goes, you know, we're going to clean house and reset the entire thing.
I don't know if they'll completely clean house.
But that's the only way you can do it, though. It's either a patch job or it's a clean house.
But you got to upgrade talent.
Well, you have to upgrade talent at the quarterback.
You
got to
upgrade talent. I
know you owe him a lot of money. I know.
Well, but you can't.
But that can't be a reason to just completely throw away another season.
You jumped in a bed with extra covers when you signed Tua to that contract. Okay,
but if you roll with that guy as your starter, you are throwing away another season. Another year of our lives is gone.
I happen to agree with you. But I also understand, Woody, and I'm going to say this, and we talked about this yesterday. There's just a shortage of these guys out there, Woody. Unless you got some, don't whelm me.
But there's not a shortage of Tua's, Joe.
What do you mean?
The guy's in a battle with the Saints. Like, can't score any points. It's everywhere. I'm guessing he's going to struggle.
You want to go through the
on
teams
Sunday?
You want to go through the teams that are?
I know there's a lot of teams. What if he struggles?
By the way, you want to go through the college guys? So
what if he struggles on Sunday, Joe? And it looks like the weather's really bothering him. I mean, we got to live
they
with this
win
for
the
another
game,
week.
If they win the game.
That's the problem, though, man. It's this. If
it's not
win
a problem.
Game thing.
So let me tell you why it's not a problem. I get the quarterback thing. Whatever he does the rest of the year is not going to change my mind or your mind.
Correct.
We're on the same page.
Yes.
And most fans now, they realize this is what he is, man. He's not all of a sudden going to come back and be 6'3 and running guys over and running for first downs and throwing 65-yard rockets down the sideline. He's not going to do that.
The scary thing, though, and I think you could agree with this with me as well, he's getting worse.
Yes, he is. But let me just say this on behalf of the other part of the team.
The money part?
No. The part of, like, find out who can play and who's playing well and who's not.
I'm not saying a tank anymore, man. It is what it is at this point. Like, they're not tanking. They're not going to be one of the worst teams in football. That ship has sailed. I'm not saying to go lose. What my concern is I'm starting to look towards next year.
Well,
because this year feels lost, doesn't it?
Why don't you... Well, why don't you just finish this thing out before you decide, or don't do me a favor and don't watch the game. No, seriously, just don't watch them. Don't waste your 3 hours of life.
Well, games are relatively tough to watch sometimes, but
they're going to try.
But you know what I'm saying, Joe? Hey, I'm looking at the big picture. This
you got that Frank Smith stuff?
Yes.
Play Frank Smith.
Give me a second here.
Frank Smith on Tua. I thought look at not, they don't come out ever say anything like really negative about anybody. Let's start with that. The team is, by the way, you won't be on that coaching staff if you don't put whatever might be a little critical followed up with positive reinforcement. But here's what the offensive coordinator had to say.
Ultimately, the season didn't go the way we wanted for everything. I mean, we were sitting at a position a couple of weeks ago where we really had to assess ourselves and band together to get us back on track. So, I mean, I think ultimately the goal for us as a program is to find a way to win. And there's no style points. There's no points for all this. It's find a way to win and win it together. And I think the last couple of weeks, that's what we've been really fighting to do. And I think, too, like all the guys are each week just embracing the challenge to how did the game go? Where can I improve? And how can I improve myself to make sure I'm ready for this next opponent? Because this next opponent's going to be a challenge, like they all are, right? They've been playing really a lot better the last couple of weeks. So it'll be a challenge as we go on the road to play division teams.
Man, I've been listening to Mike because I was curious about what Mike and Frank, the head coach and offense coordinator, are going to say. It's no secret from his running and sliding too early late to decision-making to placement of the ball, it hasn't been good enough. It has not been good enough. And it may not get better, no matter who you're playing. That was the Saints last week. I mean, you can see how good everybody is. I don't need to tell everybody. The record speaks for itself. But he's it for now. And I know I do the same thing. Like, wow, he might be our guy next year. He might be your quarterback next year.
I don't agree with you on that one.
And well, that's fine. We can have disagreements on that.
I just think, Joe, it is so far gone at this point. Like, and I know that Mike is tied to him, and I know they owe him a lot of money, but you can't throw away another year. Like, at some point, you have to do the right thing. And if you have to eat the money, you got to eat the money. Look, they're not the first franchise to have to eat a bad quarterback contract, okay?
Okay, but so my second part is, can you find somebody better with the amount of the shortage of quarterbacks in this league?
Well, what do you think? I think most certainly you could find some. Joe, you could draft someone in the first round to be better.
That's stupid
the
comment.
The second round would be better.
That's stupid comment.
Why
again?
Is it
that's
stupid?
Because a lot of teams haven't been able to do it. You want to go through the list?
Where would you rank Tua? Out of the, what is it, 32 court? Where would you rank him? The
I
guy overnight, we were driving the other day.
I don't care about what he said.
I'm just saying, just as
I'd
an
say
example.
Bottom
the guy
third.
Had him 25. Like,
I think Tua's bottom third.
Okay, so you're telling me you can't replace a bottom third quarterback?
I want a guy can do more things. And when you can't place the ball down the field and when you have no ability to scramble or run, look at you can be one. Matthew Stafford might win the MVP and he ain't running. He can't. He might not be able to be two in a race.
Yeah, but Matthew Stafford's a bad example, though.
But I'm making a good example. I'm just telling you there are guys. He's not one, by the way. I'm this is on behalf of your argument.
Mm-hmm.
That he's a guy, and by the way, the guy in Detroit can't run at all either. Golf, the Golden Bear, he can't run.
He
so there are some guys that in this league that have got new contracts, and in case of Stafford, a couple of new contracts, that, hell, he might win MVP in his late 30s. He's been that good.
And Stafford's been borderline elite his entire career, though.
Yes, he has.
Right? He doesn't get a lot of credit for it.
No, because he spent a lot of his career on that bad organization and team, Detroit. He'd love to be on this group. Of course, he's not in a bad place where he is. He'd be good either one right now with what they've done, what this organization's done.
I know that one receiver they got in L.A., that Puka Nacua, he is special, isn't he? Catches that guy makes every week.
I got news for you. Where do you rank the two guys, the speed guy and
Devontae
and a guy
there,
that?
Yeah.
No. Talking about the two guys playing for the Lions, including a guy that everybody thought wouldn't play. That guy is old school mofo. Not 100% went out and had a good game last night. St. Brown.
Mm-hmm. He's really good too. Those teams have a lot of weapons. But look, here's the other question: Where's the Tyreek Hill thing fit into all this?
There's no question. That's done.
Done.
Father time done.
Okay. He's going to be ready to go by the time the season starts.
Stupid.
Wait. What's stupid?
That you're saying he's going to be back to 100% by the start of the year.
I didn't say he's going to be back to 100%.
What are you saying?
He's going to be ready to play.
Well, what's ready to play mean? Same thing.
It
ready
means
to play.
He's going to want to play. You don't think he's going to?
He got to find some place to play.
Okay.
They're not picking up that what they owe him or what they would owe him.
Relax, though, man. You're like jumping.
Well, you
on
just
me.
Make stuff like.
I'm not making up anything. Tyreek Hill is clearly working to get back, Joe.
Tyreek Hill.
Entire offseason. Like, I'm guessing by the time training camp rolls around, he's going to want to play. Don't you think?
What do you think Tyreek Hill? First of all, I'm not sure he's going to be ready to go.
I think Tyreek Hill is a freakish athlete. I think he works very hard.
You see how bad that knee was?
Yes, I did.
You what do you think? It's an ACL?
I think if anyone could come back from it, that's probably a dude that could.
Okay.
You know that guy works his ass off and he's in incredible shape.
I know.
My only point is that I do think he will want to come back.
Oh, now it's he wants to come. Of course he does. Drew's already said he wants. He's going to be ready for the start of the season. Good job, Drew.
So no go there. You're done. Okay.
I think they're going to release him.
They may.
I say 90-something% chance. At bottom line, they got to protect like finances the best they can from all the screw ups they've done from all these extensions, including his. And that knee. Hey, Tyreek may never run the same again.
You're very right. That's very possible.
I think that's a long road. That's.
I'm with you. But, yeah, I mean, if anyone come back from it, like, that's probably one of the guys that would be on the top of the list.
Well, most guys don't have that bad a knee that's sideways.
That was bad. It was bad.
Anyway, hey, listen, man, we got to go to break here. We've got.
Why don't you get angry before you go out to New York, man?
I'm not angry. I'm not
angry.
You
going to go see the Christmas tree?
I feel the same frustration you do with Tua.
Perk said he was going to see the Christmas tree.
By the way, I'm not the only. No, I'm not going to see a frigging Christmas tree. I'm going up there to see try to win a game. That's
it. Big tree, though. Rockefeller Center doesn't do it for you. No, why don't you strap on some ice skates? They got the ice rink out there.
What, am I going to hold hands with you?
Go, find Omar.
Go ice skating.
Omar will be lonely out there. Go find Omar.
Hell, he might be bringing that girl with him again on another friggin' trip. He might hit me with, I'm in love again. I go, no, don't do it.
Great. You can take
don't
him out
do
ice
it, Omar.
Skating. Take him out, you know, ice skate and get him some ice cream
hey,
like a
my wife,
father.
My wife's got that Christmas tree is beautiful. I can look at it. That's, I go home. I can look
you got
at
it set
it
up.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
All right, man. Hey,
you gave me a hard time for setting mine up around Thanksgiving.
I don't care. Listen, man, don't listen to me. Don't listen to me about anything. But listen to me when I tell you about Beverly's Jewelers, Jeff and Amanda, the family of Beverly's Jewelers have been around a long, long time. So I went over 30th anniversary with my wife and got her something the other day. And we're just sitting there talking. I said, man, I remember coming in here for her first and second engagement ring. We broke it off and I came in again and got a bigger engagement. I got to laugh about it now. So he goes, yeah, I remember that too, man. And I go, man, he goes, Joe, you're talking 34, 35 years. He says, I've been in business a lot longer than that. I'll tell you what, they're going strong, folks. And they are the originals. They got a 3-carat certified lab grown diamond. They were the first to get the lab grown diamonds. Everybody was laughing at them. They're not laughing now because all of a sudden they are gorgeous and everybody's getting lab-grown diamonds. They are absolutely fantastic. VVS Clarity E-Color set in a custom-made.
Let me give you a quick fantasy football report. These are brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's Handmade Vodka is America's favorite vodka for a reason. Distilled 6 times till it's just right, Tito's is known for great vodka, giving back, and doing good for dogs. Distilled and bottled by Fifth Generation Inc., Austin, Texas. 40% alcohol by volume. Savor responsibly. Are fantasy leagues ending soon? I don't play fantasy football.
Traditionally, this would be the last week of fantasy football. For the regular season, playoffs start next week. Some leagues differ, so you could be starting playoffs this week.
All right. So this is from Bleacher Report. They do, you know, fantasy sleepers for the coming Sunday. One of them is Darren Waller. And they write, in case you haven't heard or missed the must-watch game between the Saints and the Dolphins last week, Darren Waller is back in action. Last Saturday, Miami activated the 33-year-old from injured reserve, and he caught 2 passes for 47 yards and a win over the Saints. With another week of practice,
Waller should be more productive against the Jets. Remember, he made his season debut against Gangrene in week 4, catching 3 passes for 27 yards and 2 touchdowns. Though his receiving yard totals aren't impressive, he's a strong red zone threat. He scored 4 touchdowns in his first 3 games with the Dolphins. Going against the Jets' 27th ranked pass defense, Waller will continue to play a key role in the Dolphins' red zone offense. He's touchdown dependent, but in weeks against porous pass defenses, he is an intriguing start for managers in need of a boost at the tight end spot.
That sounds good.
I like it.
I guess it sounds good for the Dolphins. I'm not starting them on my fantasy league, but
I feel like the Dolphins are going to bleep the bed this coming Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, this Sunday.
Letdown game?
I feel like it's a letdown game. We're kind of on a high with 3 wins in a row. The Jets are really terrible. And I just have this thing where when 2 bad teams play each other twice in a season, I feel like it's hard for one team to beat the other both times. I think Tyrod Taylor causes problems for the Dolphins. I'm just nervous about Sunday.
You just said they're a really bad team. I agree. The Jets are terrible. The Commanders were terrible and the Saints were terrible. It took overtime with the Commanders and the Jets. The Saints, it took a 4th-and-1 stop to beat them. It's going to be a close game late, and we don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. That's what I think. Like, we're playing in the toilet bowl tournament right now in these last.
That's why I'm nervous, man.
Well, what's funny is while you're reading that, I wonder if the person who wrote it realized that Darren Waller producing means Tua Tagovailoa has to get him the football. Tua's 0-7 when it's 46 degrees or colder at kickoff. It's supposed to be in the 30s in New York this upcoming Sunday. That's really why I'm worried about this game. The Jets stink, but the Dolphins having to play in cold weather. I'm concerned.
They are bad historically.
But no, Hog, you've had a problem with them treating Tua like this little delicate flower. Mm-hmm. And I think Brian Flores created the narrative. He gets hurt a lot. Now he can't run. And now if it gets a little chilly, he can't throw. Like, is the narrative real? Because I know you don't like the narrative.
It's like stereotypes, right? There's a modicum of truth in all stereotypes. Mm-hmm. There's a modicum of truth in that narrative. I think it was really fostered by Brian Flores, and I think it was unfair, much of it. But there is no arguing the stats of Tua in cold weather. There's literally no arguing. That's not Brian Flores' narrative. That is the facts. He does not win in cold weather.
If it gets chilly, he can't throw the ball.
The numbers are the numbers. He's 0-7?
0-7 when the temperature is 46
degrees.
Which
is not even freezing cold, by the way.
It's colder than 46 right now in Nashville.
But the numbers are the numbers. Until you do it. The numbers are the numbers. It's a fair criticism.
And the Dolphins, I was reading in Dolphins Wire earlier this week, Dolphins have not won a game where the temperature is below 40 since 2016.
we're some little delicate flowers.
They are delicate flowers.
I mean, Crowder, you watched them play against Kansas City in the playoff game.
Well, that was a little
Kansas City had the same weather.
Yeah, but they live in Kansas City.
So?
It was subhuman.
Was that the wasn't that the Tua underthrow by 15-yard game?
To Tyreek Hill, and Tyreek Hill had to come back, catch it, and outrun everybody because everybody was freezing their ass off. That was the only touchdown the Dolphins scored in that game. The only points they had in that game, like, they didn't play well. Last year, Green Bay, remember? On Black Friday?
You can give 7 examples of Tua losing in the cold, and you can give 0 examples of him winning in the cold. Like, it is fact.
It's legit. I think the Buffalo Bills game earlier this year when we beat them by damn near 20, it was because they were hot and they weren't used to the heat down here.
Right.
My rookie year, we played the Broncos. They were 12-4 that year. We whooped their ass. And Champ Bailey couldn't even stand up in the fourth quarter. He took a knee between snaps. Like, the weather difference is real, but to make $250 million and not be able to play if it's
totally different. Yeah, but that's a totally different argument. Like, I'm not telling you.
Cold. 46 is brisk.
Yeah, I'm not telling you that it's right or it's understandable, but it is a fact.
I've been thinking, and I know you guys are going to just brush this off as being hot takey. Zach Wilson, revenge game in New York on Sunday?
I'm in. Sold. Bench Tua. Let's do Zach Wilson. Let's go.
Oh, goodness gracious. For what?
Brilliant idea. Keep the winning streak going.
Yeah, Zach got us.
He's won in cold weather before.
He's not 0-7.
That's right.
He's not winless.
Yeah, I like it.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.